Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
The first, oh well, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay.
To see me do the welcome. I also was not expecting Chris to call me at 7:30 last night. Pastor Chris is a little under the weather, and so to be a little bit safe, he's at home today, and so I'll be preaching for you today. We're so glad you're here. Remember, if you cough, we like to do it into the elbow, just to throw that back and remind you. But we're glad you're here. If you're visiting with us online, there's a number on the screen you can text, and that'll start a little conversation with us. And let us get to know you a little better. If you're in the room and you want to tell us you're here, you've got a little tear-off guide. If you'll put your information on there, here's what we'll do. We won't show up at your house, and we will give you a free gift. And I'm really excited. I love our gift this month. It is freshly roasted coffee from Rural Roots Coffee. It's a local coffee roaster. It's actually here in our church. And so you get a free coffee, about a half a pound of free coffee, and you get a free coffee cup with our logo on it. So that would be something cool to take home. I drink the coffee pretty regularly. I did pay for it, as I told him in the early service. This is my second service. So, really quickly, our church of the week is Brasher's Chapel. That's Pastor Mike Williamson. And if you don't know Mike has been in ministry for many, many years. And I've known Mike my entire life. And so when I think of Pastor Mike, I think of just faithfulness and longevity. And he actually gave me one of my first opportunities to do ministry at a D-Now about 15 years ago nearly. And we actually have a church member who comes to early service that was in my group at that day now. And so it's just kind of neat how God ordains all that. So keep him in your prayers, them, as they celebrate Christmas and have service today. And then our missionary of the week is Sonia Vallejo. And she's in Uganda, and you know about her ministry, and Pastor Chris talks about it often. So all of the missionaries that are overseas or abroad this time of year, they're doing what God called them to do, but as a result, they miss getting to do what some of us get to do during the holidays. So keep those in your prayers, not just her, but all that you know that serve in different capacities. So if you let me pray for you, then we're going to continue in our worship. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for our time today. God, I pray for Pastor Chris as he's trying to get over a little bit of sickness. God, I pray for all those in our family, our faith family, that may be a little bit sick or are really fighting through some of the viruses and the flu that's in the air right now, God. Let those people just feel better, feel strengthened, feel comforted, God. And then as we continue in worship today, God, be with our praise team and Pastor Don as he leads us in our worship, God. And then as we spend time in your word today, God, let us hear something about you that makes Christmas even more special for us. Be with us for the remainder of this day. In your sweet and holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we continue in worship, we're actually going to introduce a song to you that was meant for December the 10th. But it's a great song, and it's all about two words, humble and king. Our Lord came as a baby, but he was king. And we're going to sing this song, just kind of introduce it to you, Come Adore the Humble King.
With all creation. Show them the
to the cradle, from cradle to the cross. Let heaven and nature see, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God has overcome. Let heaven and nature see, this is our King. From heaven to the cradle, from cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature see, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God is overcome. Let heaven and nature see, this is our King. Oh, hail the King,
oh, hail!
Oh, hail the King, oh, hail the King. Glory be to you, O Lord, King who reigns from a danger throne. My life, my praise, everything I owe to Jesus, the King on a danger throne. My life, my praise, everything I owe to Jesus, the King on a danger throne. To Jesus, the King on a danger throne.
And away in a manger, no grave for a dead, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. This morning, Lord, we have sung about a King who left his throne to came in the form of a baby, a humble servant. God, there is something moving, there is something captivating, something powerful by that image, God. That Jesus could have come down, displayed his glory, displayed all of his splendor. And God, he chose to come in the form of a servant. God, may we never lose sight of the fact that our Lord, our Savior, came and took our place. And 30 years later, would die on a cross for our sins. God, the Christmas story is just the start of this beautiful salvation story, this beautiful testimony, God. Lord, there are those in this room, Father, who are hurting. There are those in this room, Father, who just need to feel the touch of the Master's hand. And God, I pray that you orchestrate that movement. Father, this morning I pray for my brother Cale as he delivers the message. God, speak through him. May our hearts and our minds be opened. Use us, God. Use us for your glory and yours alone. In your name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Good morning, good morning.
So, when I first announced the call to preach, and it had only been a few weeks after I started preaching, the pastor of the church where we were going to told me, he said, always have a sermon ready, just because you never know if you'll get into a situation where you may have to kind of preach on a little bit of short notice. And this morning then, Stephen McClendon said, I guess after preaching as long as you have been, you probably have a message kind of always ready. And I told him, I said, I do, for 50 weeks of the year. Don't always have a Christmas message or an Easter one ready. I don't know if y'all know this, we don't usually get that one. That one's usually not sent down to us. And so Pastor Chris calls last night, and we were waiting to eat supper, and he said, hey, how's it going? And we're close friends. We don't talk a lot on Saturday nights. And he said, you got a Christmas message ready? And I was like, yeah, I do, actually. No, I said, I think I have something that I preached a few years ago that I can go back and look at and maybe share something. He said, maybe get it ready. He said, as of right now, I don't think people want me in the room because of how much I'm coughing, and it would be awkward to stop and blow my nose. And so he's probably watching. So keep him in your prayers. He's not major sick, but he is feeling kind of under the weather. And so we wanted to be a little bit more safe than sorry. And so I just texted him later last night. And I said, listen, if you're not feeling it, I got something. We'll be good to go. And I do think it's a good message. I got to preach this several years ago on Christmas Eve morning. I got to preach a message, and it was one that was one of my favorites. And I thought, well, I'll never get to use that again. But I saved it, and I guess God had a plan for that. And so today I've titled this message, God with Us. Now, if you're part of our student ministry, this is not the message I preached 2 weeks ago called this. If you were with me at the Maker's Child the other Friday night, this is not the lesson I taught them that I titled this. But I would argue any true biblical message could probably be titled God with Us. Because when we begin to teach the gospel and we begin to look at what the gospel is, it's ultimately that. It's that when you look at creation and you look at God's design, Emmanuel, God with us, was the goal all along. You've heard it hundreds of times, but maybe you're visiting, and or maybe this is your first time in church. And so I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you, listen, when we read Scripture, it's abundantly clear. God's desire is to be with his creation. It was his desire in Genesis, and that got messed up a little. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then God's desire was to be with his creation. His ultimate plan, though, was not just to be with creation, but to redeem creation. And to redeem mankind, God needed a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Many years ago, I read a tweet, and I don't remember who wrote it, but it's something along the lines of this. Never preach a message that would still be true if Genesis 3, Christmas, Good Friday, or Easter didn't happen. Never preach a message that doesn't need one of those or more than one of those components. Meaning, if you preach a message that doesn't have an aspect of Genesis 3, and Genesis 3 is the fall. That's when creation falls. That's when sin enters the world. And so he says, never preach a message that doesn't recognize the fact that there was a time that it was good and then it got messed up and sin enters the world in Genesis 3. But also never preach a message that's not necessary to have a baby born in a manger. Never preach a message that's not necessary to have a Jesus on the cross or a resurrection Sunday. Now, every message may not have each of those components, but that should be a factor in all of them. And I regularly mention Genesis 3, and when I'm teaching, it pops into my head as you teach about life and sin and struggle and pain and hurt, all those things. It's hard for me to talk about those things and not think about the fact that entered this world. It entered this world through deception and greed, essentially. Because it's vital that we understand that we live in ultimately a fallen world in need of a Savior. And then when we grasp how desperately we need this Savior, the arrival of the little baby in the manger throne means so much more. What I want to try to do today is focus on the night and the events surrounding Jesus' birth, a little bit of that. And I want to show you how that phrase, that name, Emmanuel, is not only God with us, but it's God with them. And it was ultimately God's plan all along. For the most part, we'll be in the first and second chapter of Matthew and a little bit in chapter 2 of Luke. I got a couple other verses, but if you want to turn to either one of those and kind of stay close right in there. But in Isaiah chapter 7, I want to show you the beginning, one of the beginnings of the plan. See, I believe God was with Mary and Joseph on that night, and I believe God knew the plan all along. And the song suggested, I think Mary might have known. I think she knew. But in Isaiah 7, we see the prophecy of Jesus, right? Verse 14, one of the prophecies of Jesus. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him God with us, Emmanuel. Fast forward several hundred years, and we come to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, we see this same thing come up again, and it says this in verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about in this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together, she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to tell us Jesus is announced, that Jesus is coming, and Mary knows this, right? It was in this moment, Matthew 1:18, that John 1:14 becomes real. Here's what John 1:14 is, or part of it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we've got these two narratives. We've got these, you know, the Gospels, and you've got Matthew's account, you've got Luke's account, and then John records it in a different way, but each record the same thing, that in the moment of Jesus' birth, in the announcement to Mary in the months following, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and God was with us. It was this moment in history that Jesus is born that the writer of the story steps into the story, that the creator steps into the creation. And we see that in the announcement to Mary in Matthew. We see that in the birth of Jesus. But in Luke chapter 2, we see the announcement in a sense to the world. To the public, kind of. Not necessarily, it doesn't go out on the news necessarily, but it goes out to some people, right? Here's what it says in Luke chapter 2. In the same region, chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth, lying in a manger. Now, if you memorize this as a child and you've heard this, most translations call this swaddling cloth, right? You will find a baby wrapped tightly in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And it's depicted in every manger scene, in every Christmas play, in every moment possible. It's depicted. It's a little bit in our logo back there for this series. And we've heard that, and for time and time and time throughout our life, it's a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And we think about the birth of Jesus, and you know this, but unlike celebrities, unlike maybe the birth of a royal family, the announcement of the birth of this king was not met with fanfare. There were no parades. The news did not interrupt its regular scheduled programming. As a matter of fact, the announcement of Christ was essentially skipped by all the royalty, the Pharisees, the elders, the priests. Those high and high affluent in society did not get the announcement. It went to the shepherds. Shepherds in that society, in that day and time, were not necessarily considered the greatest in society. They were lowly in society. They were not respected. They had no authority, no power. They were in some circles even seen just like thieves or simple criminals. They weren't overly educated. They weren't overly trained. None of those things. Yet on the night of Jesus' birth, God tells the angels, go tell the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, right? God of creation chose the first visitors of Jesus to be shepherds. I want to draw your attention or your mind back to earlier in the Bible. There's a guy named Samuel, right? And he's a prophet. And what does Samuel do? Samuel goes and he's going to choose the new king. And all of the big, strong, older brothers and the men line up, and they're all prepared to be chosen. And what does he do? Samuel says, where's the shepherd? Where's the boy keeping watch? And Daniel chooses David. Why would God choose shepherds? Why would God use them for the arrival of his son? I believe God is revealing his nature and his character. He's showing us, he's modeling for us, he's teaching us that he is a God who cares for all, the lowly and those in need. He speaks to the poor in spirit and he meets the humble. The birth of Jesus was not about becoming a friend to the politically elite or the religiously powerful, a lesson that might still apply today. It was about Jesus coming as a Savior for all mankind. And in that moment, nothing would happen for 30 years, right? Jesus lives his life. He lives a perfect life. In that moment of his birth, even then, God foreshadows the death of his son. Look again at Luke chapter 2, verse 12. He's just told the shepherds, don't be afraid. I have a message that's good news to all. And he says, here's a sign for you, not for Kel, for you, the shepherds. He says, you will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth lying in a manger. You will find a baby in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. If you're like me, you've read this hundreds of times. You've recited it to your kids. You've sung it in songs. You've took a baby or you have kids and you went to your manger scene and in this manger scene was a Lego. And Jesus was nowhere to be found, or it was Barney or Batman, or Jesus was on top and he was the angel and a sheep was in the manger scene, right? You just know, like when we think of Jesus, you think of the baby in the manger, and if you think of him as like the manger scene, he's usually wrapped up in clothes, he's got one hand out, because it was biblically accurate, because if you've ever swaddled a baby, they get them hands out really fast, and all of a sudden they're just a torpedo. But you see it and you probably passed over it. But here's the thing. Water swaddling clothes. It's better translated as a swaddling band. And here's what I want you to picture in your mind. It's 4 or 5 inches wide, pretty long, and here's what they did. It would be in the stables, and when a lamb was born that could be destined to be the Passover lamb, they would pull those out of the cave or out of the stable, and they would wrap the lamb in swaddling clothes to protect it so that it didn't fall, it didn't get blemished, it didn't get hurt, it didn't get nothing. They would take a lamb that had to be perfect for the Passover, and they would wrap it in these cloths. Don't miss this. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world started his life wrapped in the same way Passover lambs had been wrapped for centuries. This was not a cute onesie that Mary got on Etsy that said, King of Kings, right? Son of God, you know? These were cloths. So don't miss it, I'm telling you. The Lamb of God started his life wrapped the same way that for centuries shepherds had protected the lamb that was to be sacrificed. Perhaps that's why God told shepherds. Because the moment they walk into the stable and into this scene, I believe they instinctively would have recognized what that baby was wrapped in, and they would have known what that cloth was for. If you remember the message, it says there's a Messiah who is born, good news. And they would have walked in and they would have said, this is the sign for us, the shepherds. If I walk up, if you walk up, and we see Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloth, we would have seen no eternal significance to that. We would have seen virtually no historical significance to that. We would have just seen it and thought, oh, cool. They got the baby wrapped in a little bag. But the shepherds, no, the shepherds walked up and they said, this is him. This is the Messiah. This is the King. He's wrapped. He's in a manger. He's prepared just like a Passover lamb years before the opportunity for that to be a thing. God desires to be near his people, and from the foundation of the earth, God set a plan in place to bring his son into the world to be a Passover lamb for us. So when you read the Christmas story and you think about the baby, and over this next week you'll likely read it to someone or see it on a Facebook post or whatever, and you see that cloth and you think about that baby, think about the fact that this baby's being prepared for a 30-year later sacrifice for your sin and for my sin so that we spend eternity with him and his father, right? Why did Mary choose that cloth, right? Why was that something that she would have picked out? It's very likely that the stable that we reference was more like a cave than a traditional barn. Because it was just the location, the geography, it was very likely it was kind of just deep into caves. And so what would happen is in the moment of Jesus' birth, Mary turned and used what was available to her. And here's the thing. The swaddling cloth was available in the side of the stable, the cave, whatever you're going to call it. Because somewhere before that moment, a shepherd placed it there. Unknowingly, no thoughts of this going to the Savior of the world, no thoughts of the Son of God being wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, at some point previous to this, a shepherd, perhaps finished, he had a lamb. Perhaps he took those cloths off of a lamb before that that had gone on to be a Passover lamb. And he took that cloth and he stuck it back in that cave. And he had no thoughts to the fact of what might happen with that in the future. He probably thought, the next lamb will get it, right? But a shepherd prepared the way without even knowing it for Jesus to enter into this world. I asked him in the early service this. What people in your life were shepherds that prepared the way for the faith you now have? What people were shepherds in your life? Maybe it was a pastor or a student pastor, a children's minister. Maybe it was a worship leader, a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a family member, a grandmother. Somebody in your life was unknowingly a shepherd that prepared the way for you to meet Jesus. As I said that this morning and even now, I can picture various Sunday school teachers that I had, various RA leaders, people that invested in me without even knowing maybe they were investing in what I would be doing now. I can think of people that I've got to invest in that I hope if I ever preach this message around them that they think that he was an encouragement to me or he showed me Jesus in a way that made me want to follow him. Who are the shepherds in your life that you sit here today because of the actions they did? More importantly, who are you shepherding in your life? Who are you giving the tools and the things necessary to prepare their way? If you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a mom, a dad, a friend, a brother, a sister, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, a carpenter. Who are the people in your life that maybe consciously or subconsciously, you're shepherding their future? You're shaping their faith. You're wrapping them in a sense in what they're going to be when they grow up because of the way you live your life and the way the Christmas story has changed your life. That shepherd had no clue that he was the first and only person who gave Jesus a gift at his baby shower. The only person. And yet he prepared that for that day when Mary looks and says, grab some cloth, let's wrap up our baby. On the first day of Jesus' life, he was wrapped in the cloth of a Passover lamb in a stable cave. At the end of Jesus' life, he goes to the cross. He dies. They take him off the cross, and they wrap him in cloth, and they place him back in a cave. A 30-year plan and trajectory that God placed, and he gives the imagery, the foreshadowing of the beginning of Jesus' life was just like the end. And just like the baby, it only took 3 days the second time, but he gets up and he walks out of that cloth and back into creation with mankind. Only this time as the perfect risen Savior. Jesus was the perfect Passover lamb. The veil was torn, and from the foundation of the world, God's plan was to be with his people. In the birth of his son, God gives us a glimpse of that redemption that's coming. Church, as you read these stories, and it's fun to paint them on walls, it's fun to look at them in cartoons and all those things. But as you read those stories, it's so important to realize these are not just a random collection of words for our entertainment or to check off a list. These are the works and words of God that he prepared for us so that we sit here today and as we go through the Christmas season and think about the manger and we think about baby Jesus, that it doesn't just point us to the Savior, it points us to the risen Savior. Even in the arrival of the Magi, do we see God work. Now, if you were here last year, in November, I actually preached a message on the Magi. I got to do that. And I talked about where they come from and some of those things. I'm not going to share all that today, but a couple of things will be the same. But I want to suggest some things to you. I want to show you some things, I believe. One, our tradition suggests a lot of things that we really don't know biblically, right? For instance, that there were only three. I shared with you last year, but there was likely a giant caravan. There were a ton of these people that would have traveled a long way. They wouldn't have done it by themselves. And so there was a caravan. They just brought three gifts, right? And even the gifts they brought were mentioned in Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah 60 and Psalm 72. If you have a Bible, look in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. We're going to look at the story really quickly of the wise men. It says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Christ would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7, "Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was, the star they had seen at its rising. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another way. Here's the thing. We see the story of the wise men, the magi, and again, it's depicted in Christmas plays and manger scenes and all of those things. But the question leads, what led the magi, astrologers from the east, to see a star and search for a king? And the answer to that shows us that God, again, was working out every detail so he could be with his people. See, 600 years before the birth of Jesus, a man named Daniel lived in a city called Babylon. And while in captivity, Daniel wrote of this coming Messiah. And you know the story of Daniel probably. He interprets the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar. And then in Daniel chapter 2, he's actually made the ruler of Babylon. And not only the ruler of Babylon, but he's made the governor of all the wise men. Daniel, being a devout Jew, placed in power in Babylon 600 years before Jesus, begins to be a shepherd. He begins to take the magi and the wise men and he teaches them of a coming Messiah. He teaches them of a coming king. And he shepherds them and disciples them is what we call it nowadays. And he teaches them of Jesus. And those magi that he taught teach their kids, who teach their kids, who teach their kids, 600 years worth, however long that is, I don't know. And then the magi show up to meet a king. They don't show up to meet anything but the king. They actually go to the king and they're like, hey, we're here to see Christ. And the king is like, he's not actually, that's, you've got bad information. They're like, no, the king is supposed to be here. We know, we've heard the stories, we've learned about it. My ancestors taught me, and my grandma, and my grandfather, and all of the previous magi, they've told me of this Jesus. We're here to see Jesus, and we followed the star. And so what does the king do? He says, he goes and he talks to the scribes, and he says, hey, where's this going to happen at? And they say Bethlehem, and then he tells them where they are. And they said, we're taking our gifts to the king. And here's the thing. They had to believe the story because they don't walk up and find Jesus and be like, well, this is not a king. He's wearing swaddling clothes. No, they find Jesus and they give him the gifts and they worship the king. And not only do they worship the king, they then turn and go home another way and protect the king. What do we see in this story? That God planned for provision of Jesus 600 years before he was born. God set up a savings account, whatever you want to call it. God said 600 years before Jesus breathed on this earth, he said, I'm going to prepare a way for my son. Why? Because God wanted to be with his people. Because God's desire was to walk among his people. And these men traveled 600 some odd miles to meet Jesus. And the religious leaders, the church people, who also had been looking for a Messiah, didn't bother to walk 6 miles. Think about that. When King Herod brings them in, the chief priests and the scribes, and he tells them, these men come and said, the prophecy's coming true, that there's a star and a baby born in Bethlehem. The chief priest said, huh, and still did not go look. How many times have you been close to the story of Jesus and never learned it, never looked, never met Jesus? They were a few miles away, and they heard the story, and all they did was point in directions. The story of Jesus' birth is more than a holiday. It's more than even the virgin birth. It's God saying, I want to redeem my people. And it's God moving heaven and earth and preparing the way to make sure his son was born on what we call Christmas Day, or for when we celebrate Christmas. Here's the thing. Why is this message maybe good for before Christmas? Why did maybe God ordain this whole plan so that I would share this message for you today? I have no clue. I'm not going to pretend to know that one. But I know this. The Christmas story is a tremendous display of love by a God that desires to be with his creation. I know Easter gets all the credit, rightfully so. That's a big deal. But Easter doesn't exist without this Christmas story, without this baby prepared like a Passover lamb. And so if this is your first Christmas without a loved one, right? Maybe this is your first Christmas where it's just tough to make Christmas like it's been in the years past. Maybe the relationships in your life are not what you thought they would be or not what they were 12 months ago, and it just doesn't feel like Christmas. I don't know why I've heard that phrase, and I've said it too. A lot of people are like, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. And I don't really know what Christmas feels like. Chris could probably tell us. It feels like Christmas for him like a June 3rd. But I know this. When we grasp the beauty of the Christmas story, when we grasp what it meant for Mary and Joseph to sit and see their baby, when we grasp what his life was like in his death, burial, and resurrection, I think it'll feel like Christmas. Because I think it'll feel like a really great gift. A gift that not only changes our day and changes our week, it changes our eternity. And so today, if it doesn't feel like Christmas because of circumstances, because of situations, because of the seasons, whatever, then my encouragement to you is lean into the beauty of the Christmas story, into what Jesus did on the cross and what Mary and Joseph did at his birth. Lean into the grace and the mercy that the Savior of the world earned for us on the cross. And in a few months when we celebrate Easter, and Jesus again wrapped in that cloth, this time he defeats sin, death, hell, and the grave. I want you to think and remember the whole story coming together and how God prepared each and every moment. And what that also means is God ultimately prepared this moment for you. He prepared this moment for you to meet Jesus for the first time. A risen Jesus, not baby Jesus. He prepared this moment for you to renew your relationship with him. He prepared this moment for you to spend a moment in prayer. He ordained this moment for you to leave here with a new appreciation for Christmas. So in a few moments as we close, you have the opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit, however that is. Maybe in just thankfulness, you may need to come and pray and just thank God for the things in your life. The worship set list fit pretty well with this message. A king born in a manger throne who could have come in any way he wanted to. You can leave here today and be like, that was cool, that was encouraging, that was fun, that was boring, I don't know. Most of you are awake. Or you can leave here today saying the Christmas story is God's desire to be with me, and I want to be with God in a new and fresh way. And to do that, it starts with you being obedient to the Holy Spirit in the next 4 or 5 minutes. Whether that's praying where you are, praying where at the altar, whether that's getting forgiveness from someone near you, I don't know. But I know this, if you want to leave here appreciating the Christmas story, the first step to that is obedience right now. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your plan. And God, I'm tempted to always want it to be my plans and my way. And God, ultimately, when we read Scripture, we're reminded your plan is better than our plan and your way is better than our way. And God, the way you prepared Christmas for a king should always be a reminder to us that you desire to be with us and know us and be in relationship. So God, I pray no one in this room, no one listening online, no one listening on the radio lays their head down tonight without saying, I know Jesus. So God, be with us in the next 3 or 4 minutes as we lift up a hymn to you, God, as we have time for the Holy Spirit to work in our heart, God. And if we need to be obedient in any way, God, lead us to that. In your sweet and holy name I pray. Amen. If you'll stand with us.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.